to be left off yesterday, the Tosis Yisham had raised a kasha, a stira, and he had given two terutzim in the Bali Atosis. What was the stira? So the stira was, on the one hand, you have chinuch, you have mishnayos that talk about chinuch, you have a mishnah in Yuma, daf pebez, you have a mishnah in Sukkah, daf membez, that then you have a braisa on that mishnah in Sukkah that expands further. There's a chinuch by a whole host of mitzvahs. There's chinuch by fasting Yom Kippur, there's chinuch on lulav, there's chinuch on tefillin, and on tzitzis, and on Talmud Torah, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, what do? You have a stir between that on the one hand. On the other hand, you have a Gemara Yevamos that says, Katan Ochel Velos Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrisho. Katan Ochel Velos Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrisho. An 11-year-old boy, 10-year-old girl, sitting there and eating pork rinds, sitting there and eating boar's head deli, mamish, nevelas. And baseless have to stop him. How are you talking? Right? As the Tosfos Shabbat said, what do you mean? There's chinuch on mitzvahs, there's no chinuch on isurim. How can it be? Shouldn't it be even more obvious? Let's zero in that point a drop more now. I promised you at the end of Shir yesterday that we would begin by appreciating that point a little more. Again, that in the Kasha, the Tosfos Yishanim is assuming that Isurim are even more Chamur than Mitzvos. So that's indicated, number one, by the fact that many, many Isurim, I think the Rambam says it's roughly half of the 365 Lavin, roughly half of the 365 Mitzvos Asei, carry with them the onus of Malkus, and some carry a more severe onus, kares, misa, so forth. By mitzvahs I say, no mitzvahs I say have Malkus, almost no mitzvahs I say have kares, and the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel, that the severity of the punishment is an indicator of the severity of the din. The chomer ha-onesh can indicate the chomer ha-iser. So if you're trying to figure out a fella has to eat, you know, to save his life, and there's a choice of various trefa foods, the one with the least punishment is the one which is least usser. So eat the one with the lowest punishment, because that's the smallest isser. You see from that Gemara, Yuma Pei Gimel, that the Chomer Ha'onesh indicates the Chomer Ha'isser. So from that alone, we can apply that to Lavin versus Mitzvos, the Chomer Ha'onesh indicates the Chomer Hadin. So if so many Lavin have Malkus, and no Mitzvos Asei have Malkus, number one, you see from the Onshin that Lavin are more severe than Mitzvos. Number two, indicator number two, that Lavin are more severe than Mitzvos, is what's quoted on the page in Shulchan Aruch, Yerideh Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, that a Jew has to be ready to give away, to lose all of his assets in order to avoid violating an iser. But in order to do a mitzvah, not mechayiv. For fellows in a Jew is stuck in Siberia, and the guard is willing to give him a lulav and esrog, the guard is willing to get him a shofar for sukkahs, for Rosh Hashanah, respectively, how much is he has to be willing to pay for it? So if you have a Jew, if the currency in Siberia is cigarettes, not to smoke a cigarette, that's dangerous and foolish, but that's the currency you can use to buy things with from the guards. You have this Jew stuck in Siberia, and he has six cigarettes to his name. That's his entire material wealth, six cigarettes. So if he can use one cigarette to get himself a chauffeur, he should. He has to be willing to spend up to 20% of his assets. But he doesn't have to spend two cigarettes on the chauffeur. That's already one-third. So for a mitzvah sasei, ad chomesh, up to a fifth. For a mitzvah lo sasei, he has to be willing to lose kol hon beso, all of his assets, in order to avoid a lav. So again, why do I make this point? two indicators that lavin are more severe than mitzvah saseh. Number one, the onesh for lavin is typically more severe. And number two, the amount you're expected to spend to avoid a lav is greater than the amount you're expected to spend to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. For a lav, it's kol hon beso, if it comes to that. For mitzvah saseh, it's only chomesh. So again, two indications. A lav is worse than a say. A lav is a higher level, a more severe issue than a say. And that's why Tosafot Shem says, gewalt! Tosafot Shem says, oh, what's going on here? How could you tell me the hashta, chanuche, mechanchinon? You have the Gemara and Yuma in front of you, Tosafot Shem on the side, pei beis anav. You have to mechanuch mitzvahs all the more so on Yisur. So what were the two answers? So the second, both answers, the first answer was Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, Reish Aleph Mem, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. The second answer was he called Rabbeinu, so he said, my Rebbe, probably a reference to the Re, Rabbi Yitzchak of Dampierre, the nephew of Rabbeinu Tam, one of the earliest and most influential of the Bali Hatosos. He's the one who's probably responsible for really the writing down and the preservation of the thousands of chidushim of the Rabbeinu Tam and of the whole Mahalach HaMachshava of Rabbeinu Tam. And the author of much of Tosis. So these are the two answers. Answer number one is the Yireim, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. Answer number two is the Re, Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu. That's how Tosis Shana says, my Rebbe. So what are the two answers? So the Yireim said, oh, it's a difference between there's only chinuch on mitzvos. Only a mitzvah saseh, right? And the Re said, only the father. Those are the two answers, right? So the Yireim said, oh, by chinuch over here, by chinuch, all the examples of we have chinuch, those are mitzvah saseh, the Yireim says, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz. He says, katan ochel nevelos, it's a katan ochel nevelos. Ah, the Yireim says, yeah. We'll mark him off in red. Katan ochel nevelos. It's a question of treif. It wasn't a question of doing a mitzvah. It was a question of doing an iser. Okay. Whereas the Re, the second teretz, Rabbeinu, the second teretz, Tosafot Yeshanim, he said, no, the chiluk is not what halachic field. Is it a mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh? He said, no, it's a question of who. By chinuch, all those examples, remember, going back to Sukkah in particular, Aviv. Sometimes it just said he's chayiv, but sometimes it said Aviv, the father buys for him, the father teaches him. So the Re says, it's only the father. So we'll give the Re blue. For him, the point is not katan ochel nevelos, but it's ain beis din mitzuvin lafrisho, the Re says. Yeah, beis din is not mechuyev. What's the key phrase here? So that's sort of one way of capturing this machlokas between the Re'im and the Re. Everyone agrees there's a stira. That's what Sir Tosafot Shem asked. I have all these Mishnayos and Gemaras about the Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs. On the other hand, I have this Gemara in Yevamos, which also appears in Shabbos and Gittin. Right? We looked at Yevamos Kuf Yudalet. Katan Ochel Neveis and Beis Mitzvah like Risho. Is the difference that there is Nevelos rather than a mitzvah? That's the Re'im's Teretz. Or is it that there it's Beis Din? The father has a Chiyuv Chinuch, but others don't. And as we said, both terutzim require some understanding. You're making a chiluk, you're making a distinction, but why should that distinction matter? What's the svara? You can't just give a chiluk, it has to make sense. Why would chinuch apply only to mitzvah say? Why would chinuch apply only to the father? Both of them require explanation, both of them require hesber. And furthermore, as we left over yesterday, The Re'im is not just it requires Hezber, it's super schwer, because in the Kasha, the whole Kasha, a line before, the way Tosafot Shem presented the question was on the exact opposite assumption. that what? That mitzvahs lo sase are more chamer. That's how we opened up shir a few minutes ago. Mitzvahs lo sase are more chamer. After all, they have a more severe onesh. Mitzvahs lo sase are more chamer. After all, you're mechiv to spend more on a lo sase than on an ase. Two indicators. The chomer ha'omesh and how much you're mechiv to spend. Both indicators that, as the Tos Yishanim said in the Kasha, Lavin are more chomer than Asayin. And you would expect, if there's chinuch on Asayin, there's certainly chinuch on Lavin. So the re'aim, just it's, the next line says, no, actually there aren't. Actually, it's only on mitzvahs. Davar is omer darsheni. What changed? So this certainly requires a lot. Both of them require explanations, but this one is mamash shver. How could it be that things change? Why should chinuch only apply to mitzvahs? If anything, it should either apply equally across the board to all of Judaism, all of halacha des chinuch, or only on lavim. So that's going to require explanation. Yeah, question. Binyamin. That is a great question. Yeah, so Binyamin is asking a technical question which opens us up to sort of larger thinking also. Binyamin is asking what it looks like, just a what-if question. Well, what if, Rachman Litzlan, there's no father in the picture? The father is deceased. The father is absent, as the case may be. A painful situation on so, so many levels. How does it play out practically in terms of the specific, you know, the mitzvah of chinuch in the narrow sense? Obviously, in terms of chinuch in the broader sense, it's going to play out in a host of ways. But in terms of the chi of chinuch katan b'mitzvahs, they were talking about, and then again, as we said yesterday, here we're talking specifically about the katan actually not just learning about and being inspired about, but actually performing mitzvahs as a katan. So would that move? Yeah, that's a good question. And that sort of points also to the larger problem with the Re, which is, I think guys pointed out today in Seder, and then some guys pointed out yesterday in Shir maybe. Now, usually, let's say by the Gemara in Kiddushin says, by the mitzvah of Mila, the father, if there's a father who's present and involved, so he has the mitzvah of Mila on his infant son. If the father is, for whatever reason, not involved, he's at sea when his wife gives birth, he's somewhere, or he's, Rachman Litzlan, either not alive or uninvolved in his family's life. So then, if the father's not doing the bris milah, or the father doesn't care tragically about halacha, so then Beis Din, Klal Yisrael takes over, mediated through the Beis Din. So you would have expected that to be the case here as also. Right? And even think of tochacha, as we were taught yesterday, right? If one Jew sees another Jew not fulfilling halacha, so ideally you want to encourage him effectively, point out to him that he needs to keep this din. So, well, even only the father, Beis Din, since why is Beis Din abdicating for the Re, why is Beis Din abdicating their role? So you're right, the truth is both of these Teirutzim really require some explanation. Are there more questions, however? I'm sorry, when the screen is shared, it's a little hard to see everyone. I'm trying to still keep an eye on everyone so I can see all of you, so we can see each other. Aaron, yeah. What's your question, Aaron? Oh, you're asking why the Brisa say specifically katan ochel nevelos? That's a point in favor of the re'aim. There's davka nevelos, as opposed to a katan who's not wearing, a katan who's not shaking lulav on sukkahs, a katan who's not eating matzah and mar, a leil ha'seder, then we would, Beis Din would get involved. So you're right. For the Uraim would say that's a riot to me. That's why we said specifically, why do we have to say katan ochel nevelos? Alternatively, you could also say adarabba. We're giving an example, and maybe it's to say fakert. If nevelos are so chamer, even nevelos, not only the kid is not eating matzah, the kid is not shaking lulav, Beis Din doesn't have to get involved. Even the kid's ochel nevelos. That's very severe. And halachically, lavna more chamor, as we said, and even viscerally, In other words, I think it would strike all of us intuitively to see a kid who is not shaking lulav on Sukkos, that's troubling. But we would probably be more troubled by seeing an 11-year-old eating a ham sandwich than seeing an 11-year-old refusing to shake lulav. I think certainly intuitively, viscerally, it would strike us as being more of a problem. And that visceral reaction, as we said, is based on a correct analysis, halachically correct perspective. Lavin violating a lav is more chamer, than being mevatel the mitzvah. So let's. Correct. Nevels would be a Purdue chicken, or Boar's Head deli, right? But again, right, so I'm you're correct. I'm speaking loosely and talk about a ham sandwich. A ham sandwich, technically speaking, is not the lav of nevela; it's the lav of behema tamea. Absolutely, you are correct. Al pi din, they are parallel. I mean, behema tamea and nevela are both yisurei lav of parallel chomer. But you are correct, absolutely. Right. If you want to be more precise, katan och nevelos would be the kid is eating Purdue chicken. He's eating trefa beef pastrami. Exactly. So let's understand this. So the first step really is to make sense. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. So you're asking to push Aaron's question a bit further. Why do you have to give an example? Why do you have to give an example of katan och and levelos? Just say katan violating a lav. Right. I would push back on that though. I would push back on that for the simple point that if I want to deconstruct your kasha, I would say the hadnacha of your kasha, Yosef, is that Chazal would not give an example if they could give a general category. Why are they giving an example? The truth is, though, that particularly among Tanaim, Chazal in general, but Tanaim in particular, they did choose to often, as a matter of fact, probably usually, speak in examples rather than in abstract categories. Sometimes the Mishnah will say, after giving examples, it'll say Zehaklal. But if you think of how Mishnayos are structured, it's usually in the style of examples. That's the way Chazal taught. I think in terms of inductive versus deductive, but Mishnayos are typically presented, the abstract principles are presented in the form of specific cases. So it's not shocking. I don't think it needs to be defended. I don't think you need to explain why they say Ochel Nevelos as opposed to Katan Ha'over Al Mitzvahs Lo Saseh. If you just think, which one, you listen to that, which one sounds more like a Mishnah? There's another deal here, Over Al Kol Mitzvahs Lo Saseh Shabbat Torah, something like that. But I don't think it's Shver that you hear Katan Ochel Nevelos. It's an example of a category. The category might just be the category of violations of halacha, common violations of halacha. You could have said a katan hamefatim ketores kimaskunta, but that doesn't come up quite so often. Even a katan is wearing shatnez. How often does that come up? Ochel nevelos for someone who is seeking to not fulfill halacha or is just carelessly not fulfilling halacha. Ochel nevelos, eating non-kosher food, is going to be a common example, the Dibur Behove. And maybe it's an example specifically of an Isser as opposed to a Mitzvah. Dafka an Isser, according to Reim, or even an Isser, according to the Re. You could have said that Katzin is eating the Chel of Adam. That would be an Isser Karis? Okay. On the other hand, Chel of Adam is a little harder to come by. Nevela is much easier to come by. So, I think the example, I think, as an example, I think it's understandable. And again, as Aaron pointed out, for the Reim, Adrab, like Dafka, that's what he said, right? For the Reim, the word that's Dafka here is Nevelos, as opposed to Mitzvah Seh. While for the reed, Nevelos is an example. Maybe it's even Nevelos, even if it's an Isser, not merely a mitzvah, but Ein Beis Din Mesuvin Lafishov. If the father's present, he would have to do something, but other Jews, even the Beis Din, do not have to intervene. And again, both of these Teirutzim require some explanation, so let's get down to explaining. And in terms of the Re'eim, I want to turn your attention to a machlokas, which, again, the Re'eim is mamash, like, shver, like, how do you flip? We said that lavna mor chamer, there's no, there's only chamer by mitzvahs. What drove that flip? So Rav Shechter, I heard this from him, Bal Peh, I think he has this as well in a footnote in Be'ikvei Hatzon. So he suggests that we might get some insight into the approach of Lezri Mitz by considering the following machlokes Rishonim in Maseches Sotah. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's take a look here at a Ritva and Hagas Ashri. The Ritva is on Daf Beis. Daf Beis and Beis Hagas Ashri is later in the Masechta. The Ritva is commenting on the Gemara with which we opened the Sugya yesterday. Remember, we saw the opening Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah talks about four dinim, about the construction of the Sukkah, about the how surrounded it is with walls, how thick the schach cover is, and two issues about the height. A minimum height to which everyone agrees, and a maximum cap on the height, which is a machlokas hatanam. Tanakama says there is a maximum cap of 20 amas, and Rabbi Yehuda says no such thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, as he goes on to say in the Braisa, the Gemara quotes, on Daf Beis Obeis, it could be twice as high, or even more, it could be 40, 50 amas high. Make the sukkah as high as you like. And if Yehuda had proven that the earlier Tanaim held that his Shita, that the earlier Tanaim, previous generations, did not think there was any maximum height of the sukkah, because in an earlier generation, when the Chazakenim went to visit Hileni Hamalka, when they went to visit this righteous Jewish queen Hileni in her sukkah, she had a royal sukkah, the ultimate Rebbe sukkah, she was a queen, and she had a very, very tall sukkah, way more than 20 amos high, and v'lo amru davar. Right? And you remember the Bryce had said in the Daf Beis and Beis, you saw this yesterday, Bryce says, Zadha Chacham said to Yehuda, that's not a raya. She wasn't chayevis in sukkah. Women are paturas from sukkah, they can volunteer if they want to, but they're not obligated to. Woman can decide, does she want to eat in the sukkah, does she want to eat in the house? Either one is a fair choice. She can choose to eat in the sukkah and volunteer, ein mitzvah v'yosef, volunteer to have the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah, or she can choose to eat at home, and there's nothing wrong with that. So maybe that's why the Chacham didn't say anything. The Zakeim didn't say anything, because she wasn't chayevis in sukkah anyways. So she wants to have a regal sukkah and date. To which Rabbi Yehuda responds in the Brayso and Daf Beis Amud Beis, he says, no, I disagree. It's true that Hileni Hamalka wasn't chayevis in sukkah, but her seven sons were in the sukkah with her. At least some of whom were old enough to have at least reached the age of chinuch. V'lo amru davar. And still the Zakeim didn't say anything. Ro'im, you see from here, says Rabbi Yehuda, that a greater than 20 amma high sukkah is kosher because the Zakenim did not protest on behalf of the young children, the young sons of Hileni Hamalka. Says the Ritva on that Gemara on that Beis and Beis, right over here, Meha Maisi, Meha Shaminan, says the Ritva. You know what you see from here? What's the underlying Hanacha of Yehuda? And the Chacham say you can't prove anything from Hileni Hamalka, she's patur from sukkah. So he says, yes, but her boys under Bar Mitzvah are chayiv in sukkah, and therefore I can prove the details of what makes a kosher sukkah. Because the Zakenim would have insisted on a fully kosher sukkah for her banim ketanim. Says the Ritva, what do you see? That katish mechanchel so mitzvah, sarach laso mitzvah behechsher gamur kegadol. He says, the question of the chinuch esrog. When you get a luv and esrog for a katan, does it have to be kosher? Says the Ritva, yes. A chinuch set might be smaller. Maybe a chinuch set has less fancy hidurim, But the chinuch said has to be kosher. It cannot be a pasul aluv. It cannot be a pasul esrig. Because after all, the whole premise of Yehuda is that it wasn't a pasul asukah. The masina raya mishbaitin, misukah shel hileni. The whole raya is from her, say, Queen Helen's sukkah. She had seven boys. At least one of them must have been old enough to have reached the age of chinuch. And the assumption is the boy sukkah maliasa. He needs a fully kosher sukkah. Ah. And then the Ritva goes on, and then he ends the paragraph, a little uncharacteristic. He ends with a sort of self-editorializing line. He says, by the way, says Ritva at the end of the paragraph, in case you're wondering, why did I spend so much time making this point? I need to make this point, even though it might be an elementary diuk, because I've seen there are Tamei Chachamim who make a mistake. There are other Rabbanim who think that the Chinuch Lulav and the Chinuch Esrog don't have to be kosher. Give the kid a lemon. Or at least give the kid a Pasul Esrog. He won't know the difference. It's fine. So he said, Ritva says, that's wrong. How do I know? If a fair Gemara, so could that base my base. You don't have to get that far into the Masechta to notice. Oh. So that's the position of the Ritva, that when you're mechanech a child in mitzvahs, it needs to be a totally kosher item. Now, not everyone agrees, as Ritva himself said, right? Reisi chacham and toam is a. Other Rabbanim disagreed. Now, Ritva thought they were wrong, but the other Talmid Chacham did not necessarily agree with his assessment of them. Take a look. Here's Agos Ashri. If you actually have a physical Gemara Sukkah, you can open up to the back. You look at the Rush right after the pages of Gemara. The pages of Gemara and Masechta Sukkah. Gemara Sukkah goes to Daf Nunvav and Beis. And then if you keep turning, you have a page of Piskei Tosfos, they get straight into the Rush. Rabbeinu Asher. You turn to the Rush, or if you don't have the physical Gemara, worry not. It's on the screen right in front of you. It's in the Maror Mekumos, the second page of the PDF. If you have a physical Gemara, you turn to Perek Dalet, Simin Vav, and I'll just show you so you can see what it looks like. Here's a page of Rush. You see the little paragraphs in the smaller font. It says Hagah. It was a Hagah Asashri. A later Ashkenazi Rishon added additional glosses, quoting additional Rishonim on the side of the Rush. So when the Rush there quotes the Gemara that was in the Maror Mekumos, Sukkah Memvav Amidays, Rebbe Zeira says in the Gemara, you got to be careful, you know, on the first day of Sukkah is a mitzvah daraisa of Sukkah all over the world, of Lulav. Sukkah is daraisa all 7 days for everyone. But Lulav is outside the Beis HaMikdash. Lulav is, as we know, Doraisa the first day, and Dirabanan the other days. Lulav and Chol HaMoed is only Doraisa in the Beis HaMikdash, and outside the Beis HaMikdash, in the days of Beis HaMikdash, no one shook Lulav and Chol HaMoed, if you were not in the Beis HaMikdash. If you were at home, you did not shake Lulav and Chol HaMoed. Ulokachtem lechem b'yam harishon, Torah says, first day. After the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Yochum and Zaki made a rule, Midrabbanan, you got to take lulav and chol hamoed all over the world to remember Zeich LaMikdash, to remember that in Beis HaMikdash, there is a mitzvah daraisa of lulav during chol hamoed. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamin. You have a mitzvah of simcha with a lulav in lefnei Hashem, here in the Beis HaMikdash, lefnei Hashem, the presence of the Rebbe Shalom, then that's 7 days. So we have a din, we all, post Churban Bayesheni, we have Takanas V'yochem and Zakai, lulav is drabbanan throughout the days of Chol HaMoed, Lulav is Daraisa, first day of Yom Tov. Okay. One of the Nafkaminas, as you all know, is the first day of Yom Tov, and in Chutzlar, it's even the second day, based on Sfeika Dioma, there's a requirement of Lachem. Based on the Pasuk, Lachachtam Lachem. You have to own the Lulav and Esrog. You can't just buy first on the day of Yom Tov, you can't borrow. Chol HaMoed, you can just borrow. But Yom Tov, you can't borrow. You have to actually own your lulav and esrog. So if indeed you have to borrow, so on Yom Tov, you have to do a fancier transaction called the matana amonas la'achzer. You can't just borrow it. I'm sure you've all seen this done. You have to actually give it as a gift. You tell the guy, give you the gift, on the, you know, with the understanding that within a period of time, you're going to gift it back to me. But I'm actually giving you ownership of it now on the condition that you'll subsequently give it to me. The first, and Yamtiv, you require lachem. Says Reb Zeir in the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav, says Reb Zeir, what do you do if you have a child? It's you and your son, you and your 10-year-old, unless maybe you have a sixth-grade son, Yehuda. So you and your sixth-grade son, Yehuda, go off to shul together with one lulav and esrog. So Reb Zeira says, make sure you're not makne your lulav and esrog to your son, because a katan can be kone, but he cannot be makne back. You're going to give him the lulav and esrog, you won't be able to retrieve ownership of it. So don't let him be yotze before you're yotze in the first day, because he is financially a black hole. A katan can be kone from you, but he cannot be makne back to you, alpi halacha. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what's the problem with that? If I can't, I shouldn't be makhtin to my son, because then, to my under bar mitzvah son, because then he cannot alpi din, he can hand it back to me. Alpi halacha, once it's his, he retains ownership. Alpi halacha, once it's his, he cannot, he's not authorized to give it to me. What's the problem? Mitzad hilchas lulav? Take a look at the Haggadah Rashi. U'pirshar ben Eliezer bar Nasan, the Ra'avan, one of the earliest German Rishonim, the Ra'avan, Reish Alav Beis Nun, the Rabbi Eliezer bar Nasan. So he says, "Im tofes im atinok," don't just hand it to the 10-year-old, because then he'll take possession, he'll take ownership, and he won't be able to give it back to you. Al pi halacha, he can hand it back to you, but it'll remain his item. So instead, the Ravon says, "Im tofes im atinok," you hand it to your son, but hold on to it as well. You keep holding on to it even while he's holding it. Kevin shlo yatsam yada lagamre, since it literally did not leave your hand, he's holding it, but so are you. Shapir dami, that's okay. You retain ownership and you can be yotze afterwards, or you can be yotze the second day of yontif. You'll still have the shalacham. So that's one approach: hand it to your son, but you keep your fingers on it also. Ubikiyei hadas, and the more elegant tamid chachamim machazirin osolim makomo. They don't hand it to their son at all. They just put it away, put it down, put it on the desk, put it back in the case. Vahatinokos meyatzma notzol and somav aruchon so. And the child comes and takes it. See, he was never kona. Mem alav zayin is mei or zarua. This Haggadah Rashi is quoted from the Or Zarua, a sefer written by one of the earlier German Rishonim, and he was quoted in turn from the Ra'avan, Rabbi Eliezer bar Nasan. Now, what they're clearly assuming is that, you know, if you buy a separate lulav and esrog for your 10-year-old kid, gevaldik, so you have yours and he has his. But if there's one esrog to go around the two of you, so you better make sure that he is not kona it, because he's a halachic black hole, as kinyanim go. He'll be kona, but he can never give it back to you, alpidin. He can never be makne back to you. So you better make sure that he is not kona. Are we on board with that? You better make sure that your 10-year-old son is not kona lulav and esrog, because otherwise the adult's kiyum is at risk. If I'm being makne lulav and esrog to my 10-year-old, you know, on the first day of Sukkot, what am I? I live in Chutz Laaretz. I need to have lachem the second day of Sukkot. How will the father be mekayim lachem? So to protect the father's mitzvah, don't actually let it become halachically the property of the katan. Now that's great. Here's the thing. That's great in terms of the father's mitzvah. But how about the son's mitzvah? How is the katan mekayim anything if he doesn't own it? You need shalachem on the first day of Sukkot. Didn't the Ritva say that you can only mekayim the chinuch katan mitzvah requires full hechsher, has to be a kosher item? So apparently that, Rabosai, is machlokas. Apparently, we have a machlokas between the Ritva on the one hand and the Ra'avan, the Or Zarua, the Haggadah Asheri, however you want to refer to the second position, on the other hand, because Haggadah Asheri, according to Or Zarua, according to the Ra'avan, Rabbi Eliezer bar Nasan, they hold no. Apparently they hold. You could, that chinuch does not require that be fully kosher. That's what you see. Now that's an interesting machlokas. That's a pretty fascinating machlokas. And here we are back on our whiteboard.
We have machlokas ritva versus ra'avan. Do you need full hechsher or not? I have machlokas. Machlokas ritva versus ra'avan. Chinuch with a pasul item. Chinuch with a pasul sukkah. Chinuch with a pasul lulav. It doesn't belong to the child. The sukkah is too high. What's the issue about? So Shechter quotes from earlier Achronim. The question of, you know, can you have chinuch with a pasul item? What they're really arguing about is the following fundamental question. What is the mitzvah of chinuch? Midrabanan Chazal mandated chinuch katan b'mitzvah. The child has to actually perform the mitzvahs. Well, what does that mean? Why? So presumably he's doing it for practice. And presumably he's practicing now. The kid's never going to shake a lulav until he's 13 years old. So things may go a little haywire when he's 13. He won't know what to do. He won't know how to do it. He may not remember to do it. He may not be so ready to do it. So you have to habituate the child to practical halachic performance long before he's actually chayiv. That's presumably the rationale of chinuch ketanim b'mitzvahs. Now the Ravan appears to say, and that's all that it is. The Ravan appears to say that all that it is hargala, practice, and that the rules reflect that. Ravan appears to say it's all hargala, just becoming rugil, just becoming practiced, and so that's why. Look, if you hand your kid an apple for lulav and esrog, so that's not good practice because he can tell that's not an esrog. Even if you hand him a lemon, he will probably notice that that's not an esrog. You're training him to take a lemon. That's a problem. But if you hand him an esrog, which looks kosher, it happens to be some tiny dot somewhere that makes it possible. He has no idea. Or the Ravon's case, I never let him be kona it. See, he doesn't realize that he really doesn't own the lulav. The 10-year-old isn't attuned to that. Or the Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Beis. The Sukkah is 40 amas high. This boy knows the difference between 40 amas and 20 amas. Does he really? He can tell the difference? Lav Dafka. So when you have a psul which is inobvious, an inobvious psul. So the Ravan says, what's the problem? All you need is practice. So he's doing a good practice. The Ritva, however, said, no, you need total heksher. Why does it matter whether it's kosher or not? It's just practice. So the Ritva apparently says, no. The Ritva says, yes, the rationale, the motivation Chazal had for instituting chinuch might have been that the child should practice acting Jewish before he's mechuyev to, but what the nature of the mitzvah rabbanon of chinuch that Chazal created, it wasn't merely to practice. It was to actually have real kiyumim. Chazal wanted in order that children should ready be ragil b'mitzvahs, according to Ritva, Chazal or Mesakin, Ketan actually have to do mitzvahs. They actually have to mekayim mitzvahs. There's not enough that are going through the motions. The Ravan says it's purely hargola. Chazal just wanted Ketan to practice, get into practice. So if it's a good practice, then, you know, rehearsal. Not every rehearsal is a dress rehearsal, as those who have put on plays know. Right? So the Ravan says it's rehearsal, hargola, just practicing. The Ritva says, no, mom should dress rehearsal. For the purpose of rehearsal, Chazal mechayiv, you have to mamish be mekayim mitzvos. Now, why is this relevant? So in the remaining 5 minutes, I want to unpack some of the layers of why this machlokas sounds like an interesting but freestanding machlokas about the rules of chinuch when it's an inobvious psul. Does that matter or not? That's actually central to this whole discussion. And you'll notice the colors that I used in the Ritva and the Ravan. Right? But now let's go back, number one, to the Re'im. Right? The Re'im has so shver. Right? We were so bothered. The Re'im, everything, he flipped the whole Svara. Right? In the Kasha, they said, it should be more on Lavin than on Asein. After all, Lavin are more severe. And the Re'im said, no, it's only on Mitzvahs. Why? What svar is there to say that it's only Chinuch HaMitzvahs? So Rav Shechter points out there's a Maharal in the Gur Aryeh. That's the Maharal's Perish super commentary, his Perish on the Perish, his super commentary in Perish Rashi al Torah. In Vayigash, the Maharal takes up the discussion that many earlier Svarim had about Avos Kodem Matan Torah. A larger discussion, maybe some other time, maybe when we get in Ramban Shir later in Sefer Bereishis, we could talk about more. But there is a rich discussion about Stiris. Did the Avos Kodem Matan Torah volunteer to keep mitzvahs or not? Chazal appeared to say that at least to an extent they did. On the other hand, you have all these examples, most famous of which is that Yaakov marries two sisters, which Lachar Matan Torah would become one of the Arayos, Chi of Kares. So, okay, Yaakov Inu lived before Matan Torah. He wasn't bound by Halacha. But were they volunteering to keep Kol Torah Kula or not? So there are different variety of answers are given. The Ramban gives an answer, Ramah gives an answer, Chaim Voloshin gives an answer. The Maharal's answer is they only mitzvahs, not Isurim. Maharal says that it's meaningful to volunteer a mitzvah. If you tell me, I'm not mechuyev in a mitzvah, but I'll volunteer. So a woman is not mechuyev to shake luluv. Okay, so if she doesn't shake luluv, nothing wrong. But if she chooses to shake luluv, she was mekayim something. She accomplished something. Einu mitzvah v'yose makes sense by a kima mitzvah. You can volunteer. You'll get something. You're not obligated, but if you do it, you get something. You don't do it, nothing wrong. But if you do it, there was added benefit. You're mekayim something. But the Maharal says you cannot volunteer to keep a lav. Like a non-Kohen is going to volunteer that he's not going to become Tamil Lames. A non-Nazir is going to volunteer to not drink wine. If he would have drunk the wine, there'd be nothing wrong with it. So now he's not drinking wine. He's not Mekayim anything. There's nothing there. You can't volunteer to avoid a lav that doesn't apply to you. There's only, that's the Maharal's Yesod in Vayigash. There's only Eina Mitzvah V'Ose on a Kiyum HaMitzvah, not on an Iser. You can volunteer to do a mitzvah that you're not obligated to, but it's meaningless to volunteer to avoid a lav if it doesn't really apply to you. So he suggests that's why the others were volunteering. It was called the Matan Torah. They weren't Mechuyiv in mitzvahs, but they were volunteering. So it's meaningful to volunteer a mitzvah. If Avraham Avinu is not mechuyev to eat matzah, but he chooses to eat matzah on Pesach, okay, so he's mekayim something. But if Yaakov, he's allowed to marry two sisters, kodesh matan Torah, he's going to volunteer to not, there's no kiyum in that. It's meaningful to volunteer a mitzvah saseh, a kiyum saseh, but it's meaningless to volunteer to avoid a lav. If the lav applies to me, of course I have to avoid the lav. I live after Matan Torah, so I'm not allowed to marry two sisters. Rachman al son, if I marry two sisters, that would be an Isser Karis. So I have to avoid doing that so I don't do something wrong. But for Yaakov, it wasn't wrong. It was called the Matan Torah. So what do you mean volunteer? As the Maharal says, there's no such thing as volunteering. There's no kiyum in avoiding a lav unless it applies to me. So Rav Shechter suggests that's what's going on here. The Re'im is working with the Ritva and taking it a step further. The Re'im says that chinuch isn't just a question of practicing, going through the motions. No! Chazal wanted mandate the Kohen actually has to, as it were, volunteer. You know, we're obligating him to volunteer. So a funny place to be, logically. And we're mandating that he has to volunteer mitzvahs. Minatori is not chayvin any mitzvahs. Midrabanan, he has to volunteer them. That's only meaningful by mitzvahs haseh, but not by mitzvahs los haseh. So the Re'im is aligned with the Ritva. And let me leave you with this, because our time is almost out. Here's something that I was hoping I'll be able to leave you with something to continue to work on the sugya over the course of Yom Tov. Hopefully you'll learn Maseches. You may want to learn Maseches Sukkah more broadly as well. But certainly, in terms of continuing the sugya, this machlokas ritva ravon about the in obviously puzzle item, if it's acceptable for chinuchana, which again we explained is a question of really it's a nafkamina in a fundamental chakira, whether chinuch, the nature of the chi of chinuch is merely to practice or actually have to kiyume mitzvah. So on the one hand, if you talk kiyume mitzvah, you might even take it so far as to say it's only by mitzvah saseh. That would be a further application of that. And on the other hand, when the Rish says that it's only the father and not the Beis Din, which we said before was, you know, curious, that may relate to the question of Mihu HaMechuyev. Who is the person who's Mechuyev in Chinuch? Which is that's a discussion, Brachas Daf Memches, between Rashi and Tosus. Whether it's the boy or girl is Midrabanan Chayiv in Mitzvahs, or no, he's not Chayiv at all. He's not even Chayiv Midrabanan. She's not even Chayiv Midrabanan. It's the father's Chiyuv to see to it that the child does Mitzvahs. Now, saying that it's the father's chiyuv, that obviously is saying the kid's not really chayiv at all. He doesn't have any kiyum. It's the father's kiyum. So the father just has to have the kid practice. That lines up with the Ravan. Whereas to say the other tzad in the machlokas Rashi and Tosas, it's actually the bain is mechuyev. The son himself is chayiv. Yeah, if the son is chayiv, then we can begin to say the Chazal actually mechayiv the son to do real mitzvahs. If Chazal created chinuch katan mitzvahs as a chiyuv on the father, then obviously if it's a father's mitzvah, the father is not mechayiv in the mitzvah of esrig by the son holding an esrig. So obviously Chazal were mechayiv the father to have the son practice. So that lines up. If it's the son's chiyuv, so then it's at least possible to say that they didn't just want the son to practice, they actually want the son to be mekayim mitzvahs. And if it's the father's chiyuv, so then we understand why no one else has to impose. If the son is actually chayiv midrabanan mitzvahs, so any Jew who sees a son, this boy or girl, who's not fulfilling halacha, so then you have to step in. You have to encourage them to do the right thing. Here's a boy or girl under bar bas mitzvah who's valei in halacha, if the chiyuv is on the son. But the re seems to hold, no, the chiyuv is on the father. The son, the boy or girl, they're not mechayiv in at all. It's a father's chiyuv. So Beis Din doesn't have to tell the child to cease and desist. Maybe if Beis Din saw the father not saying anything, Beis Din would instruct the father, you have to fulfill your mitzvah chinuch. But it isn't the child's mitzvah. It's the father's mitzvah according to the Ri. And so these two machloksen, whether it's limited to the father, whether it's limited to mitzvah asei, seem to both intertwine and both ultimately flow from the underlying machlokes, whether the nature of the mitzvah chinuch is that the child should actually be mekayim mitzvahs, midrabanan, or just that the child should practice. And again, that flows into up to three possible nafkimiyas, and maybe more as well, but three possible nafkimiyas that we discussed in the course of this year. Number one, is there fulfillment of chinuch if it's a davar puzzle? If it's puzzle, but inobvious to the child. Number two, is it plausible? This is a possible nafkimina, an extension. Is it plausible to say that chinuch only applies to mitzvah asei? Because again, using the Maral Svar, that volunteering is only meaningful by Kiyumim, not by Yisur. And number three is the question of who is Mechuyev in Chinuch? Is it the father or the son? That may also flow from this underlying, relate to this underlying Chakira. And that again would drive the question of does Beis Din have to tell the child to keep mitzvahs or no? It's the father's mitzvah. It's not the child's mitzvah. The child's not doing anything wrong by not doing mitzvahs. It's the father who's doing wrong. Beis Din might have to have a discussion with the father if he's being careless. But Beis Din would not have to instruct the child because the child is not doing anything wrong. There's obviously much more to see in this. I would recommend that you take a look. Brachas Memches, a beautiful, very, very rich Rashi, Gemara, Rashi, Tosas, Bahad, a lot going on there. And Mirtz Hashem, we are all Gedolim, and we are all fully Chayv and Mitzvahs. And every year we mature, we come to this Sukkos, a place of far greater maturity and depth than previous years. And Mirtz Hashem, with the learning of the Lamdas, the learning of the Sukkos, the learning of the Halacha L'Maaseh, the learning of the Machshava, we prepare, and to continue to learn between now and Yom Tov, and over the course of Yom Tov, we prepare ourselves to not only fulfill the dinim of Sukkos properly, but to fully take advantage of all the richness of growth that we can derive in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our relationship with mitzvahs, from the Yom Tov of Sukkos that is coming our way.